If you've ever heard the term reborn, raise your hand. Yeah, what's interesting is a lot of times that term is used with athletes, actors, and artists. They talk about how their career was reborn. Many of you might be familiar with Matthew Stafford. He was the Detroit Lions' number one draft pick in 2009, but quickly slipped into the injury-prone mode and kind of got the scarlet letter on his forehead. Missed six games his rookie year. Then the next year had season-ending surgery. He went on to have a good 2011, only to be followed by a lackluster couple of years. However, most sports analysts would say his career was reborn, and he shredded the "can he stay healthy" narrative, and he started climbing the ranks of some of the best quarterbacks in the league. He led on fantasy football and eventually got traded to the Los Angeles Rams, and then this year won the Super Bowl. Whether you like him or hate him, like the Rams, don't like the Rams, his career, according to everybody, was reborn. Reborn is a powerful word, and they often use it with athletes and actors and artists. Think about John Travolta having his career reborn. Any of y'all remember the Look Who's Talking movies? Okay, if you don't, ask a parent or a grandparent, okay? Drew Barrymore, Robert Downey Jr. all experienced a rebirth of their career. And this word reborn is a powerful word, but you're probably, maybe from a church perspective, a little more familiar with the term born again. Reborn, born again are words that are used in our culture, but born again is a deeply spiritual word. And you may not be familiar with it, or perhaps you do, but born again is a powerful word in Christianity. It is genethe anothen in the Greek. It is a powerful word. In fact, listen, look right here. Our eternity depends upon our understanding of what this means to be born again. Our relationship with God in this world and the next is dependent on what we believe about this word, born again, genethe anothen. And it's really often misunderstood in our world, but we're not the first people to struggle with understanding what that means. It's been misunderstood for 2,000 years. In fact, open your Bibles to John 3. We're continuing our series in the Gospel of John. We've been in that since January. We're going to be in John till Easter. And you're going to meet a religious leader today who struggled with what the word born again or reborn actually meant. And he was confused. And maybe some of you are familiar with him. His name is Nicodemus. And he encountered Jesus, and he encountered this word, and it created confusion. And so I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and we'll just jump into John chapter 3. It says, "There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to him at night, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him.'" So Nicodemus approaches Jesus because Jesus has been doing miracles. He's pretty famous at this point. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. So he's a little hesitant. He doesn't want to be seen. One guy called him Nick at Night. Come around. If that reference was lost on you, then you were under 20. But he comes to Jesus and he calls Jesus teacher. Now, Nicodemus was a very learned religious teacher that probably had earthly credentials that Jesus didn't have. But he still comes to Jesus with questions, but he doesn't really understand Jesus because he calls Jesus a teacher that comes from God. Now, Nicodemus, you're close, but Jesus didn't just come from God. Jesus is God who came in the flesh. And so you're close, but you've still missed it by a mile. And he's heard about his miracles, and Nicodemus has read about miracles, but Jesus is God in the flesh who does the miracles. And so he's inquisitive of Jesus. And then look at what Jesus says in response to Nicodemus in verse 3. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is what? Born again." There's our word, genethe anathen. Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the kingdom of God isn't something that you just walk into. You don't pay admission to. You don't get a ticket to. You're not born into the kingdom of God. You're born again into the kingdom of God. This is where we get other language in the New Testament, the idea of created in Christ Jesus. We are a new man. We're alive with Christ. We're in Christ. There's regeneration. There's a new heart and a new self. We're partakers of the divine nature. That's biblical language that describes the reality. You're born again. That's what he tells Nicodemus. You got to be born again. And look at Nicodemus's response. It perhaps is a little similar to what some of you are thinking. Nicodemus says, "Well, how can anyone be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked him, "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Here's what Nicodemus says. He says, "Listen, Jesus, thanks for the insight, but I don't want to have to go home today and have that conversation with my mom. Mom, I had an interesting day today. I met Jesus and he told me about eternity." "Oh yeah, tell me about that." "Well, there's good news and there's bad news. You might want to sit down for this." He's like, I don't want to have that conversation. Well, Jesus understands his concern and he responds. And if you're new to the Bible, you probably have red letters in the next verse, and that always indicates Jesus speaking. So Jesus says here in verse 5, "Truly I tell you," this is in response to his question, "unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit." So Jesus answers his question. And he says there is a birth that takes place with the flesh and there is a birth that takes place with the Spirit. And I believe the birth that he talks about with the flesh and water is talking about our physical birth. Wade, why do you say that? Well, when a person is born from a woman, it's always preceded by their water breaking. So I believe he's talking about our physical birth into this world. You are born into this world, but you have to have a spiritual birth, which is what he says. You have to be born of the Spirit. That's the supernatural birth inside of your life. This promise of a supernatural birth was promised back in the Old Testament when Ezekiel said in chapter 36, you don't have to turn there, I'll quote it. Ezekiel prophesied of God, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put in a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my Spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully obey my ordinances." There's a new heart and a new spirit born again. You don't need a better you. You don't need a better you. You need a new you. A heart of stone taken out and a heart of flesh put in. The Spirit of God placed inside of you. There must be a taking out and a putting in. And for Nicodemus, he assumed, because he was a religious man, that the kingdom of God, being a child of God, was his birthright. I just get to walk into that. You are not born into the kingdom of God. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. And apart from a new heart and a spiritual birth, you may be physically alive, but what Jesus is saying is that you're spiritually dead. And you could be spiritually dead and still be very spiritual. Nicodemus was incredibly spiritual. To be a religious leader in his day, he most likely had to memorize 613 Old Testament laws. And not only that, he probably would have committed to memory the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Any of you who have ever tried to read through the Bible in a year and you get to Numbers and you're like, I'm just trying to stay awake, Jesus. Had to memorize it. You can know the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. You can obey all the rules and still not belong to Jesus. And so Nicodemus, he prays, he tithes, he goes to church, he teaches, he's spiritual, but he doesn't have the Spirit of God living inside of him. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. This is what Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 2 when he says, you were dead in your sins and trespasses. Verse 4, but God, because of the great love which he has for us, made us alive in Christ Jesus. You were dead, but God made you alive. How did he make you alive? He took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He sealed you with his Spirit, born again. By grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God so that no one may boast. Most theologians even believe that the faith to believe in God is even a gift, so that we have nothing in this world to boast in but Jesus and Jesus alone. And so this is the conversation that's happening between the Son of God and a religious leader trying to figure it out. And if you continue the conversation, then what you'll find is maybe one of the first verses in Scripture you ever memorized, John 3:16. This is in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. He says this, for God loved the world in this way. He what? What did he give? So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Christianity is not about what you must do. Christianity is about what Jesus already did. He gave his life for us so that we can, through faith in him, be born again. And then we memorize verse 16, but we don't always talk about 17 and 18, but they're spectacular. They're spectacular. Look at verse 17. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And most people believe Jesus came with this righteous angst to just obliterate the people who weren't following the rules. He didn't come to condemn the world. Well, then why did he come? To save the world. Look at verse 18. And anyone who believes in him is not what? So the only reason we're not condemned is because we believe in faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason why we know for sure in this verse that it's not about your works or lack thereof that make you a child of God or keep you from a child of God is I want you to see what condemnation is linked to and what it's not. It says, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. Because he has not believed. Condemnation is only linked to a lack of belief. Jesus didn't come to offer condemnation. He came to offer salvation. Our condemnation comes from a rejection and a lack of belief in Jesus as the Son of God, through whom we can have eternal life and be born again. And Nicodemus, he wants to get it right. He actually wants to learn. And you'll meet him again a few chapters later, and you'll see him again at the cross with Jesus. But he's at this point trying to learn, but he's still unsure what to believe, but he's trying to figure this out. And I know if you're like me, I didn't hear about Jesus till I was 19. And so the teenage years of my life, I was trying to get it right and obey this and follow this and do this. Can I be really honest with you? You're never going to get there on your own. There is no path on your own to God. You can't put this on your life plan. You can't work this out. And for many of us in this area of the world, we're so successful, we don't want to surrender. But it's through belief in Christ that you could be born again. New life, new heart, new purpose, new mission, new destiny through faith in Christ. Well, Wade, you may be asking, like, how do I know that I've been born again? Well, number one, what do you believe about Jesus? Believing in his death, burial, and resurrection as the only sufficient payment for your sin is step number one. When Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," it's because it is. And a Christian rests in the promises of God in Christ Jesus that you can indeed be born again. What do you believe about Jesus? Number two, there is a changed life. The Bible talks about fruits of the Spirit. There's an evidence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. A Christian will begin to look more and more like his Savior, her Savior. It doesn't say perfect. Good night, I'm still a tangled mess that God's working out. But there's a changed life. There's a love for God's people. There's ongoing discipleship. A Christian, according to the Bible, continues to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All Christians will progress, may have ups, may have downs. It's two steps forward and one step back. That's why there's the old hymn, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." How many wanderers we got in the room? I ask you because I want to know how many liars we got. Pretty much all of y'all. It is not a perfect journey, but it is a journey. And I don't want to inflict unnecessary doubt in your heart. But 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, it's good that we examine ourselves and test to see if we're in the faith. So I don't want to give unnecessary doubt to anyone. I can remember at points in my life, I would pray just in case prayer, just in case I'm not saved. But God wants you to be certain and to know. So I don't want to inflict unnecessary doubt on anyone, but listen to me. False assurance is worse than unnecessary doubt. Because what we believe about Jesus Christ is the most important thing about us. It determines whether or not we are truly indeed born again. And here's what we know. People, as our senior pastor, Mike Glenn, says quite often, are asking questions only Jesus can answer. The problem is, they're not looking to the church for answers to those questions, but we have been entrusted with eternal answers to eternal questions. Let me share with you a little bit about the burden and passion and vision of this team. Because we care deeply about the souls of the people here, but maybe you have or haven't noticed this, but did you know that U-Haul puts out every year a list of the number one or number two or top 10 destinations for one-way rentals? For them. Do you know, I'm setting you up here. Do you know what the number one destination in America is for one-way U-Haul rentals? Do you know? Can you guess? Middle Tennessee. That's why the roads around here are so horrible to drive on. You cannot make a left turn in Nolensville. And people aren't just lost spiritually, they're lost. They don't know where they're going. But if Jesus' words are true, that there's only one way to be born again, then our passion is to be a massive movement of Jesus people who go out and disrupt the darkness. Because Jesus goes on to say that men hate the light because they love the darkness. And so we go out as darkness disruptors and we push back darkness and we become kingdom builders and we say there is hope and there is a guy named Jesus who loved you and gave his life for you. So we go out as ambassadors of the King. And what you may or may not know is you're invited into one of the richest and most profound legacies of people of God that I've ever been around. I've been a pastor here for 4 years, been a pastor for 20 years. But what you may not know is that what you're a part of today started 50 years ago with a group of people at Woodmont Baptist Church. Incredible, Jesus-loving, missional, crazy group of people. And they said, hey, people are moving south. And 50 years ago, they said, something's going to happen in that farmland called Brentwood. And so we want to go out and plant a church in Brentwood, Tennessee. And they established a group of people who met in the basement of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. And by God's grace, God started moving in profound ways. And at the Brentwood campus, over the years, it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And God was changing lives like crazy. People were driving from all over this region to go there. But they realized, we don't want people to just commute here. We want them to belong somewhere. And so they started breaking off pieces of who they are and began planting different churches. And so over the next couple of years, they planted the church at Station Hill. They planted the church at Avenue South. We merged with the church at West Franklin. We merged with the church at Woodbine. And then we planted or merged with the church at Lachlan Springs. And then this will excite you. They planted the church at Nolensville. Everybody say, woo. Yeah. And then our last location, the church at Harpeth Heights. Because they believe Jesus is way too good to keep to themselves. And people must be born again. And there's only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And what you may not know is that the planting of the church at Nolensville started 7 years ago with people praying, seeking the Lord over this area of the world. They were prayer walking and they were asking God for a vision. And they purchased land here, and they started giving generously, and they started setting aside resources, many of whom, most of whom, who bought the land and paid much of what it takes to be in this facility, which, by the way, is debt-free, do not worship with us on any given Sunday, but they believed in the mission of God so much that they said, we want to be a part of something special out there. And aren't you glad they did? Yeah. So we stand on their shoulders. And so for us, over the next 24 months, we have said we want to completely saturate our 5 to 7 mile reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. And inside those 5 to 7 miles is 50,000 people. 50,000. And I know it feels like all of them live across the street from you. But we believe in the next 24 months, every person that breathes air should hear the name of Jesus at least once because of us. Heaven is real and hell is hot. And they both last for an eternity. And we care deeply about the souls of men. And we don't want to just do here. We're going to plant in the next 24 months. We actively have a team wanting to plant now in Smyrna, Murfreesboro, and College Grove in the next 5 to 7 years. In 2 years, we want to have one of those ready to go so that we extend our reach this way. But what we're praying about and believing God for isn't just a Nolensville vision. It's at the core of the Brentwood Baptist family vision. And so over the next 5 years, collectively, here's what you get to be a part of, is you get to be a part of working towards ...100 healthy congregations in every square inch, town, neighborhood, and location in Middle Tennessee. Because what we know and believe is that 700 people a day move into Middle Tennessee. 40,000 new people a year. 135 languages are spoken. And at a minimum, there is 1.85 million current people living here completely unchurched, not connected to any mission or message of Jesus Christ. And at least 700,000 that have zero religious affiliation. And listen to this, every day in Middle Tennessee, 105 people will die that do not have the hope of Jesus Christ and have not been born again. Every single day. And so McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, they have a plan in place, already have their next locations determined, and they have figured out how to scale it. Anybody like Whataburger, or excuse me, Chick-fil-A? I like Whataburger, which by the way is, there's one here and in Murfreesboro, and this, don't get me distracted, I just want you to know, there is Whataburger. But why in the world should Chick-fil-A have a better plan for multiplying than the body of Christ? I love a spicy chicken sandwich, but I love Jesus way more. And so we're going to actively pursue this vision, and so I want to tell you about it. And so number one, we're beginning what's called the Engage Church Network so that we can have a scalable, reproducible plan to accomplish 100 healthy congregations. We can determine future campuses, future church plants, future healthy coaching structures. We want to restore life-giving presence where there used to be one. And it's going to take teams and systems and leaders, and we're establishing that to build that. We want to have a plan in place to get the vision off the wall and into the roads and byways of Middle Tennessee. And we're beginning to build these infrastructures now. And what you don't know and why it's so urgent is that inside Middle Tennessee, 15 to 20 churches close their door every year. Every year. 80% of every existing church in Middle Tennessee has declined. Most of whom haven't baptized anyone in the last 24 months. And missiologists tell us that we need a minimum of 100 new churches just to keep up with the growth, not to mention reach the people who are already here. So you're going to hear a lot about the Engaged Church Network. We're going to do that. That's a family. Number two, we're going to get a permanent home for our Avenue South campus. Avenue South campus is the only campus we have inside the urban core, and there's about 250,000 people within walking distance of their campus. And it's a beautiful leased space, but it's a temporary space with no parking on a busy street downtown, and people have to park all over and walk, and they use up all their faith just crossing the street to get to church. And so we're gonna help them get a new home. In the same way people said, we're going to invest here in Nolensville, as a family, all of our campuses are going to help get them a new home. And then we're gonna update our Brentwood campus. The last time it was updated was 20 years ago. And it's a larger facility than ours, but ours is much nicer. How many of y'all know what this is? If you don't know what this is, ask your parents or your grandparents. This is what our Brentwood campus runs their audio and video and lighting on. I took it. They may not have audio and video lights today. You think I'm playing? Wait till I get to the office tomorrow. But the demographics that they're reaching 20 years ago is not the same that they're reaching today. And they need to update to be relevant to the times. But also, it's a massive facility that's only used one day a week, and they need to create a multi-use space for a lot of our local ministries and missions and efforts. And so you're going to be hearing about our vision for the next 2 years to help us accomplish this over the next 5 years a lot. And so to help give you a little more understanding to where we're going, I want you to watch this video.
Middle Tennessee, the place known for its scenic views, creative influence, and rich culture. From historical museums and green spaces to live music venues and the world's best soul food, Nashville and its surrounding communities are the definition of Southern charm. But our cultural climate, which has thrived for generations, is now changing. Over the next 5 years, experts estimate that Nashville's population will explode by over 200,000 people. Hundreds are moving here. New residents are coming mostly from Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and Atlanta. They are seeking success and a better life. But above all, we believe that God is bringing the world to Middle Tennessee for a spiritual purpose. Many of these people are far from God. That's why we want to intentionally pursue our neighbors as we engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody. No matter the question, Jesus is the answer. The task before us is great, but we've never been afraid to do new things. We faithfully served the people of our community for over 50 years. And the small group, which began in the basement of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, has now grown into 8 healthy campuses across Middle Tennessee. Over the decades, we've increased our community engagement, but there's still much more work to do. We need to encourage more people in more ways, and we will see God do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Now is the time to pursue as we build for people and believe for more.
1 out of 8 of our neighbors was born outside the U.S., and there are over 135 languages spoken here. It's time we engage the beautiful diversity that's flourishing in our own backyards. We must partner with local churches to meet people right where they are. 100 new churches are needed to reverse the decline of gospel presence in Middle Tennessee. We've launched 7 campuses, and we are engaged with 30 more multiplication partners like Groveville Church. We've provided coaching, financial assistance, soul care, and many other ministry investments to churches just like Grove Hill. But there are more churches that need our help, and we can help them engage their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to be a part of 100 healthy congregations as we minister directly to people in their own languages, cultural contexts, and worship experiences. Healthy congregations need healthy leaders. These leaders must have a heart for the people who are moving here and believe that God can do more through the works of their hands. That's why we will identify, equip, and deploy Christian leaders for local community efforts and international work. Through leadership development opportunities such as our ministry residency program, we will equip more church planters, pastors, worship leaders, group hosts, and missionaries. These leaders will help others actively pursue the people in their communities for gospel transformation.
Along with the thousands who are already living in Middle Tennessee, our campuses are preparing for the people who aren't even here yet. Since the year 2020, we've seen over 7,700 first-time guests who are looking for hope, purpose, and belonging. We want them to feel welcome, known, and loved from the moment they walk in the door of our facilities to the time they leave. That's why we're updating our campuses to better pursue the people who are coming here. And one of our best opportunities for community engagement is in the downtown urban core area where our Avenue South campus is. The Davidson County area is growing exponentially, and our church family is trying to keep up. Our Avenue South campus is running out of space, especially in our preschool and children's area. New guests are having a hard time getting in and out of the building because we face inadequate parking challenges every week. Now, our current rental space has served us well in the past, but now is the time for us to pursue a permanent location. In this new location, we'll create a space where we can engage people in the community and meet the spiritual and physical needs of new residents. Our Brentwood campus will also be renovated to better serve our community. Many people in this area gather at this campus for business meetings, large events, and more. This community cornerstone also hosts a place for the homeless, serves the hungry, and welcomes the hurting. Our updated facility will be a world-class multifunctional space that meets the emerging needs of our community as we engage them with the love of Jesus Christ.
Over the next 2 years, we're launching the Pursue Capital Campaign. With much prayer, we're believing for $30 million to pursue Middle Tennessee. This amount is the current size of our annual budget, and it will come from your additional giving over the next 2 years. We will pursue people in new and renovative spaces, in communities that do not have healthy congregations, and in areas where people are coming here from around the country and around the world. Now, if you belong to one of the 8 campuses of Brentwood Baptist Church, we're asking you to make a commitment. Let's pursue all that God has for us. We want to be on mission with God, and that includes giving of our finances. Please pray about pledging to the Pursue campaign as we engage Middle Tennessee together. Let's build for people and believe for more.
I am incredibly excited about what the future is going to hold. We have big dreams because we serve a big God. And until Gabriel blows the trumpet and calls us home, we're going to keep advancing the kingdom of God, partnering with God for the mission of God. And so I know for many of you, you watched that video and 2 words stood out to you: 30 million and commit. So let me just speak to you for just a moment. Let me tell you what Pursue is not. Let me just dial in for a minute. Pursue is not a high-pressure sales pitch, okay? Some of you have acid reflux from a previous church experience with stuff like this. And you have a nervous twitch because, or maybe your assumption is, see, I knew the church just wants my money. This is not me up here every week with a thermometer. This is not me mailing you regular updates. And just so you know, none of our pastors at any campus know the specific giving details of anyone who comes. We don't look at or have access to anyone's individual giving statements on purpose. And if you're a guest, man, welcome home. We're not asking anything of you. You're just kind of sitting in for a few minutes at a family dinner. We're not asking anything of you, but I want you to know, man, you're around some incredibly generous people. So you probably noticed we don't pass an offering plate here. It's not our style. We give you opportunities to give in the buckets, give online or text. But what's not going to happen during this is we're going to all of a sudden start passing the plates. And then I'm going to have my team look at it. And then we'll pass them again. And then we'll pass them again. It's not going to happen. It's not a high-pressure sales place. Okay, but aren't you asking for money? Not really. Like, we believe in faith that God is going to open the doors for us to see a mighty movement of God in Middle Tennessee. We're asking those of you who feel led to come go with us and partner with us. You can't give what you don't have. There's no commitment today. For those of you that have a burden for this, begin praying with us about what that would look like for you. And what would it look like for you to invest over and against your normal giving into the eternity of Middle Tennessee? Well, wait, what was the specifics again? Well, it's 30 million. 10 million of it is for the Engaged Church Network. We must have the infrastructure in place to accomplish this vision. securing locations and leaders and teams, we want to take very seriously the gospel presence in Middle Tennessee. $10 million for Avenue South. We are currently leasing their facility, and we pay $475,000 a year to rent that facility. If that's a lot of money, say amen. But we've been renting it because to buy land and build downtown would have cost upwards of $40 million. And so we've rented instead of buying, but by God's grace, there's a church called Mount Gilead Baptist Church within a half a mile of our desired location who's relocating, heard about our pursuit of a facility, approached us and said, hey, we want to sell you our location 50 cents on the dollar to what it's worth because we want a gospel presence downtown. If that's not a miracle of God, I don't know what is. Yeah. And so we can buy for $5 million and renovate for $5 million. And then $10 million for the Brentwood campus. And the Brentwood campus could have easily done that, but she has planted and planted. And so to update, to not only be relevant to the people who are coming, but missional in terms of its facility, it needs to be updated. And I know it's a lot of money. But as you heard Mike say, our annual budget across all eight of our campuses is currently $30 million. And so our team regularly stewards well this much money. And that $30 million pays for all eight of our campuses, 200 plus staff members, 60 missionary units overseas, a mobile dental unit, a disaster relief team. And 17 years ago, we brought in external auditors to make sure we crossed every T and dotted every I with every dollar we brought in. And since that day, there's never been an audit that wasn't completely squeaky clean. So much so that they use the way we handle finances as a lesson to other churches. Because we care deeply about the investment that you provide here. And so, Wade, what is Pursue then? Well, it's pursuing people. We want to make much of Jesus. We want to see more stories of life change. We want to see more Samanthas and Angelicas and husbands and wives and people that you're going to meet in the next service, one of whom came from a predominantly Sikh background and has recently given her life to Christ and says, not only do I want to love Jesus, but I can't wait to go back and tell my parents about the living God. Like we want to see that over the next 5 years until Jesus comes back. And for us, it is a sense of urgency. As I said earlier, eternity hinges on whether or not people are born again. And we care about the salvation of people. And as long as we are alive, we're going to keep dreaming and advancing the kingdom of God until Jesus blows the trumpet. Because Jesus' people care about lost people. And Jesus' people make much of Jesus. We stand on the shoulders of people who have advanced the kingdom of God for years. And I just want you to join us. Come go with us. And I think I could perhaps illustrate this to you in a good visual way. And so I want you to go ahead and get your phones out. I want you to get your phone out. Go ahead and find it. Go ahead and get your phone out. And then here's what I want to give you a picture of. Because as we talk about disrupting darkness, I want you to get a picture of that. So we're going to have the room go dark. And without the light of my phone, you wouldn't see me. You wouldn't know that I was here. I would be lost in darkness, but one light can completely transform and disrupt the darkness. One light can completely transform my life. One light takes me from darkness to light. And Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to be his ambassadors, and we are to be the missional force that goes and proclaims a king has come. But we're asking for more than one light. So get your phone out, turn your light on, and when you do, stand up. Look at what happens when a group of people collectively point their lights in one direction. We can light up an entire room. And our vision is to light up Middle Tennessee to the ends of the earth. Amen? Amen.